Welcome to Calvary Chapel. We're going to kind of take a step sideways from the Beatitudes this morning. And why don't you open your Bibles to Psalm 46, put a little marker in Psalm 46, and then turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to do my best to avoid too much of my opinion on the politics of today. Good luck, yeah. Well, I just want to know. I want to know God's heart, and I really desire. And what God put on my heart was to comfort His church in light of what's going on today. So let's just go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the study. Heavenly Father, we lift up this time, and we're so grateful, Lord, that You're here with us, Lord, to be Your children. We know that You're a caring Father, that You care for us. And so, Lord, we pray that You bless this time and speak to our hearts, and certainly bring reality into just what seems unreal today, Lord. And Lord, in the face of confusion, we pray that You would bring order. And so bless this time. Speak to us through Your and by Your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' holy and I don't know. Brand new battery. It's affecting the airwaves now. Don't breathe. So, it's chapter 19 of 2 Kings. It says, "And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord." Now, kind of background for this morning, the Assyrians at this time had already basically taken Samaria, the northern 10 tribes, into captivity. Assyria was the big boy, the bad boy, the bully on the block in the east at that time. They were probably one of the most vicious and horrendous peoples in the history of humankind. When they would take a city or a village, they would rape the women, they would cut the children from the pregnant women, they would they'd slaughter the men, skin some of them alive, they would leave piles of heads that would basically become piles of skulls at the entrance to the cities or the villages. I mean, they were horrible, horrible people. And what had happened was they had already taken the northern tribes. God had warned Judah, the southern tribes in Jerusalem, of what would come their way, that it was an example for the tribes of Judah. Quick history, northern tribes for all the time since Solomon, they never once had a king who acknowledged God, who followed after God, and so judgment came to the children of God because they were unwilling to listen to the prophets and they were heavily into idolatry. Judah's history was they would have good kings that did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and then they would have other kings that were evil, did what was wrong, you know, evil in the sight of the Lord, and God would chastise them. They would turn their hearts back to them. So, and this is going to happen. All right, why don't you just go ahead and switch over to the podium.
And I'll try not to say peas. I'll try and stay away too far back. So what has happened is that Sennacherib, who is the king of the Assyrians at this time, has worked his way into Judah. They've taken pretty much every one of the villages of Judah, and they find themselves at the gates of Jerusalem. They had sent a warning to Hezekiah, king of Judah at this time, telling them that they would have to pay tribute, 300 talents of gold and I think 100 talents of silver. which Hezekiah decided to pay. And it took, basically what they had to do was take all the gold and the silver from the temple in order to pay this tribute. But in the meantime, they had made a deal with Egypt, and Egypt was supposed to basically come to their aid, but Egypt at that time was not a powerhouse, and so Assyria found out that they had, on the backside, made a deal for Egypt to protect them, and so Sennacherib sends his general Ramshekeh to basically threaten the children of Israel. And so, you know, he said, you've put your hope in Egypt. You've already paid a tribute. It's going to cost you a lot more. And he starts demeaning the children of Israel, but he starts demeaning God. He said, you know what? All of the villages we've been through in Judah so far, their gods, and in Samaria, in the northern tribes, their gods were unable to stop us. What makes you think the Lord your God is going to stop us from taking Jerusalem? And so he's threatening and he's causing this, you know, he's causing an upheaval in Jerusalem. And he comes back and he starts saying the same thing, you know, there's nothing that you can do, there's nothing your God can do. And he's telling the people, and he's speaking in Hebrew so that all the people understand, look, don't believe Hezekiah, don't believe what he's telling you about your God, because no other gods have been able to stop us. And so it's King Hezekiah hears this, and he covers himself in sackcloth. He goes into the house of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. This is during the time of the Isaiah, the prophet of which we get have the scriptures of. He is prophesying during this time, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Even the women were having a hard time giving birth to their children. They were so frazzled. Because of the crisis that was before them. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God. Will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. And so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Just kind of to go fast forward ahead, this actually would happen to Sennacherib when he returns to the capital of Assyria. His two of his sons will kill him, and because of his failures. And so then the Rabshakeh, the general, returned out and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, look, he has come out to make war with you. So he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? And as I had said, I mean, they came through. What would happen was those that they didn't kill, they would carry into captivity, and then they would bring others from foreign lands that were in captivity into the land to intermingle with the residents or the people that, you know, from that land. The Samaritans, which were considered by the Jews half-breeds,
where the Jewish people of the northern 10 tribes that were left and caused to intermingle with people from foreign countries. Assyria assimilated that into them, and they became the Samaritans, and they were shunned by the purebred, or those of pure blood in Israel and the Jewish people. So that's kind of the history of the Samaritans and why they were looked down upon by the Jews, Israel. And but that's what had happened, and that was a practice of the Assyrians as they would come on. And so they'd laid waste to most of Judah. They'd already taken care of Samaria. And Samaria, so you understand, if you don't understand biblical terminologies, that is the northern 10 northern tribes. It was called Samaria, and that was the name of it. So it's not that Samaria was a foreign country, and the Samarian, there's no Samarians. It was actually Jewish land. So where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sevarf? There's a name you don't see anymore. Sepharvaim, Hena, and Ivah. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, the Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. And so I love this picture. Hezekiah, pretty wise guy. He goes into the house of the Lord. He goes into the temple. He has this letter from Sennacherib that's given to him through Rabshakeh. And he goes in and he goes up to the altar and he lays this down. He says, I believe this letter is for you, Lord. It's basically what he's doing. You know, and I'm just going to pray because you're the one that's going to have to respond to it. Hezekiah knew that there was nothing that he himself could do. They were in a dire situation. It was crisis. The people were panicking. All right. And so he says, Lord, this one's on you. It's your name that they're talking about. So this is the word of the Lord, which the Lord has spoken concerning him. And so we skip down. This is a song that basically, or the Lord speaking to him. And then pick up at verse 35. It came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose in the early morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Israel, departed and went away, returned home, remained at Nineveh. It came to pass, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with the sword. They escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. So one angel, you know, comes and wipes out 185,000 of the Assyrian army. Basically, there's no army left. And Sennacherib has to go home in defeat and failure. It's kind of interesting. They have found Sennacherib scrolls that talk about a siege that they had started in Jerusalem, but there's no story afterwards of what happened or of the failure. It just basically, all of a sudden, there's nothing said about it. All of a sudden, he's home. And so, but we know what happened. God basically wiped out all of the Assyrian army. It's about at this time that the sons of Korah and are ministering in the temple in Jerusalem. Turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, 47, 48 are believed to have been written
during the time of Hezekiah about this very event, the assault, or you know, the assault of the Assyrians upon Jerusalem, and the siege, and the correspondence, the verbiage that goes back and forth, and then what ultimately happens to the army, the Assyrian army. And it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. The word is Alamoth, is Alama. It's for virgins. So it's a song to be sung by the female psalmists, the female singers of that time. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Selah is more than just pause. It means stop, meditate. Think about this seriously, what you're reading. And what is he saying, you know, in light of an unassailable army, they were going to lose. There's nothing that they could do about it, yet God stepped in on behalf of the children of Israel. And so we have the writing of this psalm. He said, but therefore we will not fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we're told, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And obviously concerning what is going on in the world today, not just the United States of America, but in the world today, it is a reaction to fear and uncertainty. There is a lot of confusion about what is going on, what this coronavirus is. All right? Just quickly, and went on and I tried to find sites that would, you know, just deal with reality and what this really is. It's a strain. Coronavirus has been around for a long time. It's the common cold. This is a strain that actually specifically attacks the upper respiratory system, okay? And so it is something that has existed but has mutated. They're saying that, look, that somebody ate a bat in a Chinese market. They eat weird stuff, all right? Bats carry a lot of viruses that do not affect them, and then they can pass it on to animals. And somehow these viruses can mutate and then encroach into the human realm. And so, but here's the deal. I believe it's their best guess, all right? Anytime one of these things crops up, the first thing they do, it's a monkey, it's a bat, it's something wacky. I don't believe they even really know where it originated from. It originated in Wuhan. Exactly how, I think it's still speculation. They're still researching it and trying to figure it out, all right? So we have this understanding. Look, we don't fear because of uncertainty. We don't fear because of confusion. I'm going to try and avoid this. Look, most of the confusion and the crisis is being perpetrated on in the United States of America for political purposes. I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? And we'll get into some more stuff. It's kind of interesting they picked this. It's timely, but think about this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hey, look, trouble. There's trouble in the world. You understand that, and all the earth is dealing with it. But we will not fear. We don't react in fear. For the church, the reaction is we turn to God and you know, to a great extent, we're being trusted whether we trust in him, or tested in whether we trust in him, that he has control of all this. And then verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. And obviously in reference to what happened as they were to awake and find 185,000 of the Assyrian army wiped out. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Stop and meditate on that. When's the last time you considered these things? It's kind of interesting, the verbiage here. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. Jerusalem was one of the only major cities in ancient times, but even up till today, that was not built on a major river or a major waterway. And so it's interesting that they have used this verbiage here. Ezekiel tells us one day that a river is going to flow from Jerusalem that are going to heal the waters of the Dead Sea, the Mediterranean. It's going to heal the earth, basically, when Christ steps down upon Zion and that mountain splits and water, you know, living water is going to flow forth from Jerusalem. But a lot of people don't know that there's a tunnel underneath Jerusalem. It's called Hezekiah's Tunnel. And from Gihon Springs, it flows to the Pool of Siloam. The Pool of Siloam was fed by the Gihon Springs, but nobody knew exactly where, most people didn't know where this water was flowing from. It was dug out of bedrock with hammer and spike. It was an engineering marvel of the time, as there were two teams that dug from each direction and met somewhere in the middle. They were that exact. But imagine in bedrock this tunnel being built to bring the waters of the Gihon Springs to the Pool of Siloam. Unbeknownst to Sennacherib or any of Jerusalem's enemies, the great walled city had water running to it. It was an underground waterway, a river. Even though of all the great cities of history, they didn't have a river, and they, you know, and so those that would come and try and besiege Jerusalem didn't realize that they had a water source that was not seen outside of the walls, that people would not know actually existed. Listen, we're the church. We're his church. There is a river that flows in the church. The world cannot see it, but we have living water sustaining us. The Holy Spirit that refreshes, restores, and comforts in troubled times. Listen, we're in troubled times. It's man-made trouble to a great extent, but we don't operate according to the spirit of this world or human ways. We trust in the Lord. And so we need to understand, you know, the promise is the same for the church as it was as Hezekiah is expressing the salvation that came to Israel through the angel of the Lord that day as the Assyrian army was wiped out. Where two or three have gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. He's in the midst of his church. The nations raged. Is an interesting observation. They were in an uproar. They were in great commotion and tumult. The world today is troubled. And the trouble is greater than the coronavirus. This is just a symptom. When you think about what the scriptures have to say about the mercies of God, it says his mercies are new every morning. And think about that this morning. And I'll speak for myself as I think about what's going on with the coronavirus and the upheaval, not just in the United States, but the upheaval around the globe. They are the people. Are in fear. and it's being fed by governments. And I believe to get more control of it over the people, but, oh, sorry. I wasn't going to talk too much about politics. Each day when I wake up, it is possible that I can contract the flu, I could get a cold, I could get bronchitis, I've had that, I get a sinus infection, I've had that. I can get any kind of itis. There's hepatitis A, B, and C. There's pneumonia. You can get pneumonia. I've had pre-pneumonia. There's viral and bacterial meningitis that kills. The norovirus, a.k.a. the stomach flu, had that more than once. Not fun. I could have a stroke. I could have a heart attack. I could be hit by a car. I could get cancer or countless other maladies that plague mankind today. Do you understand that? Every time you wake up, these things are possible. I don't do this to be morbid or to scare you even more, but we understand that His mercies are new every morning. We face the day and we go through the day with the understanding that God is in control of our day. Yet I take the necessary precautions as I go about my day, but God determines what comes my way. I remember when 9/11, everybody freaked out after 9/11, right? And for good reason, but, you know, an unknown enemy had attacked, and we didn't know how many more there were or what they could do. And for a while, people were on pins and needles. And I remember Beth was pregnant with PJ. We had Hannah. And I was with the fundraising company, and we had a meeting coming up in Henderson, Nevada. Tickets all ready, we were going to go. And so, and we're going, and people are going, "You're getting on a plane?" "Well, yeah." "Well, aren't you worried about, you know, what just happened with 9/11? I said, "What? Why?" I said, "If that is my day and I choose not to get on the plane, God is going to use some other means to bring me home, because He knows the number of my days. I'm not tempting or testing God, but I'm not, you know, God isn't telling me not to get on a plane, right?" And so I'm just going to put our trust in Him. We went out, right? People asked, a number of people asked us about that. But He determines what comes, listen, He determines what comes your way. That's why when we wake up in the morning, "Lord, Your mercies are new every day. Today's Yours. I'm Yours. Whatever You have decided for me today is what You've decided for me today," you know? And I'm okay with that because I'm going to trust in Him, and that's where the church is to stand. Romans 8, 14 through 16, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And, you know, here's the thing, and we were talking about it at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday, and we need to understand this even as Christians and as the church. He is our God and He is our Father, but He has never promised immunity from the trials, the tribulations, from the tumultuous things that are going on in this world. He's promised us comfort and peace in it, right? And He's a Father. Just like I'm a father. I mean, PJ and Hannah growing up, when they would get sick, when they would get hurt, there was nothing I could do but be there for them, pray for them, and just see them through, try and give them comfort as they went through. And we have that Heavenly Father that is going to see us through these things. But He's sovereign, and He knows the number of our days. He knows what is going to come our way, and He knows what He's going to keep away from us. Here's the reality. Creation is broken. You understand that? The world is broken, and it's not operating the way that God had intended it to operate. It's deteriorating because of sin, and that deterioration is accelerating. Remember, Jesus in Matthew 24 told us the sign of the times before he's going to return. He says that there's going to be pestilences, there's going to be famines. They are all birth pangs, but they're birth pangs. What happens with birth pangs? Ladies, they start out and they're a wide distance apart, and as it grows closer to the time, those birth pangs get closer and closer together, right? And that's the same thing that we see happening with famines and pestilences. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, you probably don't know. I don't know if I shared it with you on Sunday. Look, most people don't even know that one of the worst grasshopper, locust plagues in the history of mankind is right now ravaging East Africa. They have means. Mankind has come up with means to deal with locust plagues, to kill it off to a great extent before it can get into its fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth generation, when the populations boom and they just become eating machines, ravaging produce and then causing famine in the earth, right? Well, what happened was a couple of hurricanes off of the peninsula of Arabia, and they're called something else, really cool name, typhoons. Yeah, they're typhoons there. Typhoon sounds cooler than a hurricane, but typhoons, unusual area. Typhoons hit the Arabian Peninsula, two of them. They go inland, saturate the middle of the Arabian Peninsula where nobody lives, nobody even pays any attention to. There happen to have been eggs just waiting to be. And so a generation of locusts is born. Before man even understands that this is happening, they're well into the next generations. When they realize what had happened, it was too late to use man-made processes to stop what was going on. And so there's going to be, and probably already started, famine in Africa right now that they don't tell you about. You can go online, though, and they talk about it. One of the worst locust swarms known ever in the history of mankind, because they weren't able to put a stop to it. And then there's pestilences. Jesus said that there's going to be pestilences, that we're watching a pestilence affect the whole world. Again, there was SARS. There was, you know, you've got, what are those crazy little bugs that bite you? Mosquito. The Zika virus. H1N1, all these things, man. And it seems to be ramping up. And not to cause fear, but Jesus said this is what's going to happen. I do not believe this is God's judgment, okay? Because this is the conspiracy theorists, and people start saying, well, this is God's judgment. Look, God's judgment's coming. Jesus said these things are going to lead up to that time of tribulation on earth. This is creation out of control. This is creation spiraling. And you know, just it's heading like a runaway train into what is going to inevitably happen. And so we have tribulation coming. I do believe this is a result of a fallen world, and that despite every advancement of man in science and technology, we are still exposed to what sin is doing to God's creation. The best our scientists can come up with is wash your hands and keep your distance. Do you notice that? Right? It's interesting. God instructed Israel on cleanliness and the foods to abstain from within the law. They told the children of Israel how to remain clean. And now we're probably starting to see the reason why he had a list of animals that are not to be eaten or to stay away from. Is it possible that the omniscient God saw down the path, and probably throughout history, that those animals are going to be the viral carriers that are going to affect mankind throughout history? My God's big enough to know that is yours. So there was a reason why God gave them lessons in cleanliness and things to stay away from. And it's the best man can come up with. They don't know that they're just basically reiterating what God already told us to do, right? The virus they have determined is carried. I said it was bats. Nobody ate a bat, I don't believe, you know. But they eat bats. They eat bats down in, I think the Aborigines eat bats down in Australia. Could have been a food source in a market infected with a viral, you know, virus that they contracted from a bat. I don't know. Like I said, they eat some weird stuff in China. And then verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Think about that. So here's my suggestion. You know, as long as the government doesn't say that we have to close shop Calvary Chapel, we're going to be open. We're going to have services. We're going to trust in the Lord. I would tell you this, be wise, wash your hands. If you have pre-existing conditions like emphysema, COPD, asthma, if you're challenged in respiratorily, if you have a compromised immune system, then stay home. That's just wise. If you get the virus, it's most likely you're going to be okay. You're going to be a little miserable for a while. But it will pass. You're as likely to get the cold or the flu or other things. Has that stopped you from your daily routine, getting up and doing the things that you're supposed to do? You know? But be wise. I'm not saying this out of... And, you know, people have called in or texted in and said, for us, we believe the Lord's just telling us to lay low for a week or two. And, man, I am behind that decision. If that's what the Lord is leading you to do, then you do that. But the Lord of hosts is watching over his children. And he's in the midst of his church. One angel wiped out 185,000 Assyrians, and he's watching over you. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to end, to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. He is sovereign over what's going on. He chooses when things end. He could even choose when this ends. You know, the children of Israel, they got in a little bit of trouble. They're already in trouble because they weren't necessarily following after the Lord, but their king, their leader, decided to count the people, and he got a little bit proud, and so God gave him a decision. Either 3 years, was it 3 years of famine, or you can run from your enemy for 30, I think it was 30 days, or 3 days of pestilence against the children of Israel. And so he said, man, I don't want to fall into the hands of the enemy. So God said, all right. 70,000 died until the hand of the angel was restrained, until God said, remove your hand from it, and it was over. It can end when God decides it's going to end. But he knows what's going on. He wasn't taken by surprise with this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I can tell you this, as I said, I don't believe this is judgment per se, but it's what is allowed because of what sin has done to the earth. God knows what is going on with the earth. And here is what I know. His desire is that this will turn hearts of the people to him. There are going to be those who question it, and they're going to blame God for it. God's not to blame. Sin is to blame. And that's where we need to be wise and be prepared to share the truth and the love that God has for the people, that maybe this is an opportunity for revival. Maybe people will start, and they're going to ask questions. Man, churches swelled after 9/11. You know, this is a little bit different. They're all being told to stay away from the churches. But you know what? Individually, we may have people in our lives that are going to ask, what is going on? Why is this happening? You know, is God doing this? And the fact of the matter is, no, God isn't doing this, but he wants you to be comforted in it. And our understanding is one day he's going to be coming home. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stop and think about that. Be still and know that I am God. In the midst of the tumult as the nations rage, the nations are in confusion because they can't get a handle on this. I mean, we know everything about the world today, and man's desire is to get control over nature and life and death and all these other things. And they can't even get control over a little virus. It's interesting, and those of us that grew up in the church know Martin Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, was inspired by Psalm 46. It was one of his favorite psalms. But understanding this, that, look, we're going to approach this with faith and with wisdom, and understanding that God is in his church. He's with his church. And he will protect his church, I believe that. And I say that with this understanding. If God decides to keep the virus from me, praise God. If he chooses that I'm to get it, praise God. Because it's not him that's doing it. And I think the church needs to stop and meditate on these things. Do you really trust him? Do you really trust him? Be wise. We're going to stay open, and that's not just in rebellion at, you know, against who I think are a bunch of knuckleheads that are making this matter worse. But it's because God hasn't told me to shut it down. And if the government says that we're closing the doors, we're going to obey that law. But until then, we're going to continue to minister to the people. I'm going to have the elders and pastors come up, and we're going to pray. We're going to do something a little bit differently. I think for the body of Christ and for CCOC specifically, that we, in wisdom, follow a very, very good example that, you know, as the church is faced with the same thing that the world is with this coronavirus and this crisis, that we take it to the altar. And that we pray, and that we let God do as he may, and that ultimately he would be glorified and exalted in his church first, but that we be a church that's able to give an answer, not only for the hope that we have, but the hope that God desires that every man and woman might have. Guys, why don't you come up? We're just going to spend a little time in prayer. These guys are going to offer prayer to the Lord instead of coming up here, and, you know, let's keep our distance and try and be wise, but come on up, guys. And we're just going to, each of them is going to share a little bit of time in prayer before the Lord, and we're going to pray together as a body of believers.
Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Let's pray. Lord God, you've given us your word. Help us to take it into our hearts, Lord, not just our minds, but in our hearts, Lord, grounded in faith. We've built our house on the rock, Lord, you who are our rock, our anchor. We built our house there, and you promised that the winds and the rain, when they come, will not blow the house down, that we will survive, that your will, your hand is on each one of us here. Lord, that your will be done. It's not our will, but your will be done, Lord. We pray that this through this these winds and these rains that are hitting us right now, Lord, and all the other the storms that will come upon us, Lord, in this world that is spiraling out of control, Lord, that we are yours. Your hand is on us. We have your promises in your word that you will care for us, Lord. You know the hairs on our head. And Lord, we trust and we have faith that your hand and arm will be around us. You'll be our comforter, our shield, and our rock, Lord. We just pray again that these things are taken into not just our minds, but our hearts, that we truly, truly believe, not just verbally, Lord, but truly in our hearts, we have faith and believe your promises and what you've given to us, Lord. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm no expert by any means of what's going on right now, but there is a virus. And yes, people have died. But if you look at the stats from other viruses that have spread around the world over the last 50 years, this is so small. And I'm so mixed with the government coming in and creating chaos, because that's what it's doing. Whether they're trying to stop the spread of it, I don't know. But I do know, I'm reminded of a little meme that I saw, and this guy's in a hotel, and he calls the desk and says, "Can you give me a wake-up call?" And the receptionist says, "Absolutely. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whoever calls upon him will be saved." That's what's going on right now. It's a wake-up call. You know, instead of running and grabbing toilet paper, I don't get it. I understand people need it, but now people who have to have it can't get it because the stores are empty. It's caused chaos. So be wise. As was already shared, if you have respiratory issues, if you have weak immune systems, if there's somebody in your home that can very easily be affected by this, use caution. You know, wash your hands. You know, don't go around if you see somebody who's sick, or if you have somebody who's sick, don't take them all over the place. So be wise. So, Lord, I ask for wisdom and discernment for everybody who's been affected by this. Lord, for our nation, this is causing chaos and confusion. And Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear. You like things to be done decently and in order. And what's going on now is not being done decently and in order. So Lord, I pray that you would be the first thing on our mind instead of, "Have you gotten this yet? Hey, do you know where you're going? If you do get infected by this disease and it takes you, I'm not afraid because this is what I know for a fact, because I stand on a firm foundation. And no matter the storm that comes, my foundation shall not be moved." So Lord, allow this to be in each one of our hearts. Lord, as we go about our days and people are causing concern and fear, I drive by bars and they're packed. I drive by churches and they're closed. Lord, search our hearts. We ask this in your precious name.
I'm reminded of something I've heard and read and actually taught on years and years and years ago. And Bill actually confirmed it with what he had said this morning. Is he said his God is big enough. So the question really this morning is, are you a big Godder or a little Godder? What type of God do you believe in? Who do you believe God is? And there was a little image that I had. It was two birds on a branch, and one of the birds had a parachute on, and the other asked him, "George, where's your faith?" Where's our faith? Who are we relying on? Do we believe in a big God who has the world in his hand and knows the number of hairs on your head? Or are we just in the little God who might be in control or who's been taken surprised by this? I know where I am, and I hope my brothers and sisters are in the same place. Lord, give us the faith, give us the wisdom to know what to do in these troubling times. Lord God, help us to remember that you are still on the throne. You know the hairs on the head and the numbers of our days. Lord God, we lift this to you. We lift our cares and concerns to you. As we even sang a couple weeks ago, Lord God, we cast all our cares upon you. You're in control. You are not surprised. You are not shocked. In this, may we draw closer to you and have wisdom of whether we should go out or stay in, but not in a spirit of fear, but in a spirit of sound mind, because we know that you have our lives in your hand and you're in control. Lord God, we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Bill brought about a lot of points about us being fearful day by day, moment by moment, things that could affect us. And we know that there's people that have those types of issues, that are so afraid of everything. We get the idea of claustrophobia, being closed in. We get the ideas of being harmed by something that isn't even evident. It reminds me of my granddaughter, who went on a great big slide on a cruise ship and started reading the disclaimer. And she's standing at the top of the slide, and she says, "Grandpa, it says death. It says death, Grandpa." I said, "Yeah." I said, "What are you afraid of?" "But it says death." I said, "But how many dead people do you see sliding out of the bottom?" So these are the things that happen to us. We get propelled forward by the things that could occur. And we want to be aware that God is saying, you know, you can be pulled away by the world. You can be pulled away by the Lord. He doesn't want us to be unwise, but to be wise, but to be gentle as doves, to be wise as serpents, he says. And you go, wow, how wily, how slimy, how undermining, if you will. That's how wise he wants us to be. Look at everything, ponder it through, but don't just flippantly follow the crowd. It's like following them off a cliff into destruction. But God gives us a mind. He's given us a sound mind. He dwells there. He dwells in us. And God is with us and for us. So who can be against us but the enemy? The enemy, and I think that he's plagued this upon people's minds. And when we don't have the Spirit of the Lord at work in us, that's exactly where everybody likes to follow. Just follow the course. Let's just walk. Look at, there's what, everybody's going that way. Let's go that way. But Lord, you said go this way. But everybody's going that way. And so I want to go that way. We don't want to do that. We want to weigh everything before the Lord. Bring it before him in prayer and supplication. Make your requests known. And the God will bring peace that passes understanding upon your very heart and on your soul. So, Lord, we thank you so much for a day that's glorious. It's beautiful outside, Lord. And yet, the world wants to close us in and says, no, 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 don't go anywhere. But, Father, we ask for your liberty, Lord, to be manifest in lives, that we can go forth, Lord, using the wisdom that you tell us to have, using the knowledge that you've given us, using the educations that you've placed upon us, Lord, and the facts, Lord, allow us to see them and know that, Lord, you're even beyond those. You're beyond the facts. When things look overwhelming, when Hezekiah looks at it and says, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What can I do but pray to the Lord? Bring it before him. Lay it out and say, here, Lord, here's my burden, but it's your burden, Father. So we thank you for that. Thank you that you're the God that's able to take much more than we can even ask, or much more than we can imagine. And we can bring it before you, and you will bring to resolution that thing that plagues us. So, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for the health of these people, Lord. I ask that your blessing would fall upon them, Lord, that they would be made in a bubble, if you would, Father, keeping the virus at bay. And, Father, if you choose to even give one of us, if one of us had to perish because of this, then, Lord, that is your call, and it is okay. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a God that gives us the peace that passes understanding. You're the God of all creation. Nothing surprises you. Father, that's hard for our little minds to comprehend, but we've got an infinite God, and we want to serve you with all of our days. And we thank you for this day, Lord. Ask that you send us forth into a world that's desperately in need of you. in Jesus' name.
Why don't you worship team, why don't you come up, we'll just pray, finish the service. Heavenly Father, we just lift this up to you and speak to each of our hearts, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would comfort those that and wouldn't question if they feel that you're urging them to maybe take a week. And Lord, maybe just to be still and know that you're God. If that's the way that you're going to minister to them, Lord, that they would have a peace about it. But Lord, just as the Apostle Paul would say, none of these things moves me. Lord, would we be a church that none of these things moves us? Because we know where we're anchored, Lord. And you overcame. In this world, we'll have tribulation. There's going to be crisis. There's going to be chaos, Lord. There's going to be panic and fear. But Lord, you have overcome those things. We're to be of good cheer. Lord, help us to be a light, salt, and Lord, just to shine forth that hope that you have given us in this hopeless world, Lord. And so we just pray that you would protect your church, not the building, Lord, but that you would protect your sons and your daughters. Lord, that you would be a strong refuge, that you would be a very present help in time of need. Lord, this is a time of need because we're in the world, but not of the world. So Lord, just protect us, heal. Lord, I pray that you would be the balm that would just, Lord, be a shield from what plagues this world. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.